Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Word association with John MacArthur.
I use the complete idiot's guide to the Bible.
Unqualified.
Why can't my kids come into the service? Because we have PG-13 services.
Unqualified.
That has a nice ring to it. Unqualified.
It wasn't a compliment.
Junior church has taken over. It's designed for elementary kids or junior higher.
Who doesn't feel unqualified?
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Guess what is not in the news? This is Wretched Radio. Don't know if you've gone to those secretive places on the internet where they're actually willing to talk about, even show video footage of, the border. That's right. In order to know what is happening down there, you got to go looking a little further than the MSM to see. We now, once again, have a very porous border. There are people by the thousands pouring into our country every day. They aren't just undocumented. They're doing it illegally, being welcomed by our government and being assimilated and even supported by our government, which also, by the way, means your tax dollars, which is why this subject is rather heated. And right now, you and I could be seeing those images and getting a little agitated. But we have to do better than conservative political talk shows. It's not enough to just be outraged or really concerned about this. No, we need to step back and we need to approach it biblically. And it's always a bit more challenging when it's a subject that really people are very, very passionate about. But you and I, if we are going to be theologians, and every Christian should be, frankly, every Christian is, it just depends on how good of a theologian you actually are. You need to study what the Bible teaches about the subject of immigration, because it does say a lot. And so we are going to, in this presentation from Wretched Worldview, try to tackle as much as we possibly can to establish a biblical worldview on the subject of immigration. Wretched Worldview, it is currently available at wretched.org. Yipper, it also has a study guide if you'd like for your Sunday school classes to be zesty. This just might be the ticket. The subject, immigration, starting with losing our pre-understandings.
Open borders versus closed borders. You're one or the other, and probably one or the other. No gray area. It's either or for you. That's a pre-understanding. Parents and children are being separated, so let's stop with immigration policies. After all, they're taking all of our jobs. Fourth, you might think, why should my money pay for a foreigner's well-being? We got to take care of our own first. After all, if our economy crumbles, everything goes down. Maybe you just want to build that wall. Perhaps you've gone to a political rally. You've carried that sign. For the time being, I would like to beg you, this is hard, isn't it? This is a really charged issue. Lose those pre-understandings. Let's dive into what the Bible says, starting with explicitly on the subject. Our first verse is from Genesis, the forming of nations at Babel. Too much text to put right there. But the whole idea of nations, it's God's idea. He's the one, because of man's sinful pride, our desire to kick God off of his throne and rule there for our good. He's the one who came up with the idea of boundary markers so that we didn't get together in kind of a one world order, thinking that we can take care of business without God. God designed nations. We need to remember that. It's important. We need nations because God ordained nations, because nations are actually good for us. Old Testament verse, Exodus 23, you shall not oppress a Jim Walliser. You know the heart of a sojourner, for you are sojourners in the land of Egypt. Before we jump into this highlighted word, we're commanded to be sympathetic. The Jews were told, hey, be careful how you treat foreigners. Remember, you used to be a foreigner too. So we're going to have some rules about this game, but we also should have a tender heart because you used to be a sojourner yourself. What does that word mean? The Hebrew word ger, meaning a person who entered Israel and followed legal procedures to obtain recognized standing as a resident alien. In other words, a legal immigrant. somebody said, okay, I'll speak the language. I will adopt the religious customs. I will follow Jehovah. God said, welcome those people. That's important. There was a system that was put in place in the land of Israel, not just nilly-willy, letting anybody in. No, people who are willing to convert to the religion. I think that's a good principle. Nehemiah 9:2, and the Israelites separated themselves from all foreigners and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. A distinctly different word. That's why you'll hear some proof texting going on. Hey, you got to welcome all the foreigners. Hold on, wait a second. Is it foreigners? Is it sojourners? Which Hebrew word are we talking about here? Foreigners, nektar, meaning alien or illegal immigrant. Did God give the Jews authority to just throw open them doors and let anybody in? No, he did not. Now, I understand. To keep that covenant people pure, out of which a seed would spring, I understand. But I think we can bring that principle forward, can't we? I think those are the explicit verses, but there is more from the Bible on the subject. The implicit Bible verses, starting with Romans 13, you got to be subject to the governing authorities. We understand laws are meant to be kept. We should not be promoting law breaking. I bring this up because no doubt as an evangelical, you've heard or perhaps espoused, hey, when you come over here, you're an illegal alien. The liberals don't like the term illegal for whatever reason. But we say, no, they are here illegally. If they didn't come through the proper systems, they are here illegally because we're to be following laws. Another verse that speaks to our subject, very similar. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution. There should be laws in a nation. It is for our good. It is for our flourishing. And I would get a little bit into the mindset of conservatives to say, I agree that we need to make sure that there's a correct balance as best we can, because if the systems are so improperly balanced that it diminishes all human flourishing, those could be some bad decisions. Meaning, we can rightly take a look at how many of these strangers do we bring into the land? What might that impact be? Having said that, remember, we were once sojourners too, and we should be sympathetic about it, and our hearts should be informed that, hey, we want as many people to enjoy this good thing as possible, because we're loving and compassionate people, not just a people of laws. We see in Acts 17, he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way to him and find him. Yes, he's actually not far from each one of us. A sermon from Paul in the Areopagus. Nevertheless, we get some other information. God is the one who built nations. If you are of a very liberal perspective that says, open up them their borders, you've got yourself a tussle with Paul in his sermon in Greece. Those are our implicit verses. Once again, on this particular subject, I think the gospel can help us a lot with our theological understanding and our attitudinal understanding of...
If this sounds foreign to you, the idea is the gospel is the central issue in the universe, the singular event that defines all other things. That means if I'm going to talk about a subject like immigration, I at least have to be considering, all right, what does the gospel say about this?
The issue of immigration. What does the gospel say to us, starting with... Are we missing an unprecedented Great Commission opportunity? Please note, not the only consideration, because I've heard liberals say, hey, just let as many people in as possible. We don't even have to go to the nations. The nations are coming to us. And to that I say, groovy, but that's not the only consideration. There are laws, there are rules, there are other biblical leadings on the subject than just this. Nevertheless, we should be excited about this. Hey, cool. I don't have to get myself a shot to go someplace to evangelize somebody who's from another country. They're coming here. We should be excited about that, rightly understood. Immigrants are sinners in need of a savior, not problems we need to solve. And yet, we don't want to abandon what the Bible tells us about what is good for a nation, that there are boundaries, that there are laws, that there are procedures. Nevertheless, they're human beings. And I want them to know Jesus. And I don't want them to be seen in my heart and in my mind as just pests. I have to confess to you, I've had some repenting to do on this subject. I was informed predominantly by conservative talk radio on the subject of immigration when I lived in Minnesota, where it's pretty vanilla. Moved to the South, and now I was confronted with a lot of good people, hardworking. Now, I didn't check their papers, but I started increasingly to see them as human beings who are trying to provide for their families, and God did a work on my heart to say, hey, these are people here made in God's image, and I should not be seeing them like, how dare they come into my country, these aliens. Well, okay, I don't want them to be coming in illegally, but I don't want to see them as the bottom of my shoe.
Now, you might be thinking to yourself, does that mean he wants open borders? No, that's not at all. We are to find more than just an issue inside of a subject. And so we're going to continue to open up what the Bible says about making sure that we have nations and borders and boundaries, while we also have a tender heart. Next on Wretched Radio.
We have been so busy here at Wretched. How busy? We've been a Jehovah's Witness in the doorbell aisle at Home Depot busy around here. We've moved our warehouse. We've released new resources, Wretched Worldview, and Solving the God Puzzle. And we're getting set to release Season 2 of Road Trip to Truth while also filming Season 3. And we're also filming a new series about biblical counseling called Transformed. But you'll hear no complaints from us. Only gratitude. We are grateful for this opportunity to serve our Lord Jesus Christ and spread his gospel throughout the world. And we know we would not be able to do these things without the support of our gospel partners. If you're already supporting our efforts to reach millions all over the world with the gospel, we humbly thank you. If you're not a gospel partner, would you please prayerfully consider becoming one? Just head over to wretched.org/donate, or you can also text the word wretched to the number 44321. And thank you for your generosity, and thank you for keeping us busy.
Let's play a word association game. I will give you several words and several short phrases, and you need to figure out what they all have in common. Are you ready? Go. Telehealth. A huge PPO network. $3 billion of medical bills. Double the satisfaction rate. Saving an average of $500 per month. What do all of those words and phrases have in common? The answer is MediShare, affordable biblical health sharing. Your family will likely save on average $500 per month. And according to their surveys and polls, you're going to be twice as happy with MediShare than you were with your traditional health insurance. Would you like to know what your family will be saving every month? Please call 1-844-34-BIBLE, 844-34-BIBLE for MediShare.
Hey, thank you for listening to Wretched Radio today. Have you been getting the monthly Wretched newsletter sent to your email? If you haven't, you should feel slighted and left out, because you're really missing out. You're missing messages that are thorough and in-depth and cover a wide range of theological issues Christians are facing. You're missing updates on all the new things going on at Wretched. Updates on resource release dates, updates on upcoming sales in the Wretched store, and the most important update of all, Todd's haircut and beard trim schedule. And you're missing out on it all if you're not subscribed. But it's simple to rectify this huge mistake in your life. Just head over to wretched.org/newsletter and get all signed up. Oh, and I forgot to mention, as a subscriber to the Wretched Monthly Newsletter, you're eligible to win free stuff. We give resources away every day here at Wretched Radio to our newsletter subscribers. So don't miss the free stuff. wretched.org/newsletter. That's wretched.org/newsletter. Wretched. Amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Books of the Bible. Paul wrote the second letter to the Thessalonians to further encourage and instruct them in the face of persecution. Some Thessalonians feared that they had missed the Lord's return.
Paul reminds them that God will punish those who persecute the church, and he will be faithful to return for his people. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Nobody said developing a biblical worldview is easy. This is Wretched Radio, Wretched Worldview 2221. A couple of dozen lectures from Dr. Owen Strand and myself on subjects that are big, often contentious, but need to be thought through biblically, not just based on what we hear on conservative political talk stations. They might have some good information, but I'm a Christian, and I think this through biblically. And what we have discovered so far here on Wretched Radio is God created nations. He likes boundaries. He likes borders. There is a rule of law. And yet, we're not to look down on people who are trying to come into a country for a better life. In other words, I can't be shrill, unloving, unsympathetic, just using very simple conservative platitudes. No, I want to be conservative on the issue. I just don't want to be cold. Back to Wretched Worldview.
Number three, every tribe and nation will worship God forever. That's the importance of boundaries. We believe there's a rule of law and that laws should be obeyed. I'm not getting swishy. I'm not joining the Jim Wallace Club. I don't want to become a sojourner, but there's a rule of law and laws should be obeyed. I want to be compassionate, but I also want to be a lawkeeper too. The gospel tells me both of those things. We desire to see humans flourish, not at the expense of law breaking, and potentially not at the expense of a greater number of people experiencing human flourishing. It's a tricky area, but nevertheless, I desire that for people. I don't want people to be starving. I don't want them to be going shoeless. I'd like them to be able to have cable TV, well, with some of the channels. The point is, the gospel tells me God wants our good, and I should want people's good too. There is a balance here, compassionate heart while keeping the laws.
Please note, I do believe we've had a president who said he was a compassionate conservative. Turns out he may not have been either. This is not what I'm trying to describe. I do believe laws should be made and kept. It's what God has ordained. We're just talking about actually seeing people. Now, some people who are coming here for nefarious reasons, no. That's not who I have in view here. I'm talking, though, about a bunch of people who are trying to come in because they're desperate. Does that mean because my heart is sympathetic, we need to overrun the laws? Not saying that at all. I'm just not going to talk about them like they're, how dare they do this and come into my country? And by the way, have you noticed what the operative word is that we've been using a lot? At least I have. Nevertheless. There's a lot of neverthelesses here because it's a big, broad, wide issue.
What about church history? I'm going to do a little bit of a summary for you on the historic Christian position, specifically regarding Thomas Aquinas. He basically went about the business, as you read this quote and I talk, that there's different types of foreigners. There are people who are lawkeepers, people who come in looking for trouble. We need to be able to make that distinction ourselves. If people are coming in here to do harm, no. If people aren't willing to get with the program, no. And furthermore, I would say if they aren't willing to come in correctly, we should put them in the place where they can indeed enter lawfully. Because if we don't, then we ourselves will be participating in law breaking. So we want to identify who it is that wants to come in. And if they come in through the correct system, they come in legally, and they desire to, if you will, melt in this great big pot, then we should say, that's wonderful, because my gospel-motivated heart says, I want them to know good things, especially Jesus. Somebody to my left is getting fidgety. What?
And that's how you see that this issue is not one that needs to divide us theologically, even Christocentrically. Sometimes people will say, Jesus was an immigrant, as if Jesus coming out of Egypt it solves the issue entirely. It's true that Jesus was, I guess, in technical terms, but it seems like, as you're bringing out, immigration is one of these principled issues that also involves a ton of prudence. How many people can a society bring in? How many workers can enter a market? All of us that I know of as Christians are going to be for immigration. It's just a matter of how many. And simply saying that Jesus was an immigrant doesn't solve that prudential issue.
That's tricky, though. Might I add this? See if you agree with this. Yeah. But my desire, because we live in a good country, so my desire would be as many as possible without breaking it and causing everybody to suffer. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we have some economic issues in a country like America, which we're primarily talking about here. It's not wrong to think about the citizens, the existing citizens'
That's
ability
right.
to we, work.
You can't neglect that component.
Right.
And we tend to do, I hear liberals doing that all the time.
Yes.
It's like, whoa, wait a second. You do want to protect it, but you've also got to watch your heart that we're not
sure.
being selfish or that we're not being perhaps racist in
right.
that attitude. Nevertheless, I do believe my heart should be, hey, we should open up the doors properly, be willing to close them when necessary. That's going to be debatable what that figure is. But for the sake of human flourishing and good, I should want more than less.
Yeah, we're not pro-immigration at the expense of existing citizens.
That's not being wise.
That's not good.
That's being foolish.
Right.
All right. Historically, some other words to be spoken. John Calvin, interestingly, not only those with whom we have some connection are called our neighbors, but all without exception, for the whole human race forms one body, of which all are members and consequently should be bound together by mutual ties. For we must bear in mind that even those who are most alienated from us should be cherished and aided, even as our own flesh. Since we have seen elsewhere that sojourners and strangers are placed in the same category, and Christ sufficiently confirms that in the case of the Samaritan. Maybe that surprised you from John Calvin. I think he's getting at the heart of the issue. And if I could, by the way, Jesus being an immigrant or an alien, he did not enter Egypt illegally.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he followed the rules.
That's
because
very
Jesus wouldn't sin. I think that just sweeps away that argument, I think, pretty quickly.
That's important.
Historically, we understood throughout church history, nations are God's ordained idea. We are a nation of laws. Laws are good, but we're compassionate people because we've been shown much mercy and much grace. Haven't we? What about my personal testimony? They're just 2 points for your consideration. Does my love for neighbor say something about the love of Christ? If the world heard me talking about those lawbreakers who come into this country and all they want to do is bring in the crack and rape our women, which is clearly an issue that needs to be dealt with. We don't want that. But how do I sound? How am I talking about these things? Am I strident? Do I sound like I really love people? Would people just think that I'm a conservative talking head? Sorry, with all due respect to Fox News, I don't want to sound like I'm a angry, mean jerk. I want to be a lawkeeper, but I want to be loving. And I think Jesus found that balance for us. Number two, personal testimony consideration. How does my support for border control work together with my love for others? This is the issue we were talking about. Hey, the borders are important. It affects the people who are already inside of those borders. I want to make sure I'm being loving to both parties. My personal testimony absolutely needs to be considered. Before I get to our objections, let's deal with them.
Here we go.
Shall we? We must keep the terrorists out of our country. Yeah, and I think that is a correct objection to the idea of open borders. Yes, we need to do that. We don't want to see people harmed. Right? So I agree. This country was built by immigrants. Therefore, open it up and just let anybody in? No, you're right. It was. And we should rejoice in that. And we should be able to see the different nations that Jesus is going to gather together to worship him. Nevertheless, even though the country was built by immigrants, doesn't mean we neglect laws. We need to be holistic Christians. The process to legally enter the U.S. takes too long. Yeah, maybe it does, but we can't override moral correctness and what is right and what is best because the system is just a little bit clunky. Of course it is. It's the government. Immigrants are taking resources like jobs and health care and welfare away from our citizens. Right. And that is why we need to remember who's already in. I do believe that, although there's no distinction between value, that should be the priority. Because if you wreck the whole thing, then nobody's going to want to come and nobody's going to flourish. So let's keep our priorities straight lovingly as we do so. And
if you'd like to hear the rest of the presentation, you can do so because Wretched Worldview, it is available right now at wretched.org. I see this debate all the time, and it tends to be one ditch or the other. It tends to be liberal, squishy, let's just have a one big party in one world order. On the other hand, I do hear a rather cold tone from us conservatives. I want to be biblical when I consider the issue, even the difficult one, of immigration. This is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I'm Jimmy Hicks. Well, two books have been removed from Fairfax County Public Schools in Virginia after one parent read graphic passages from those books at a recent school board meeting. The two books, which I'm not going to mention the names of, were suspended effective immediately, and as parent Stacy Langton read the graphic passages, her mic was shut down, and school board members admonished her for reading what she did because children were present, which is something I find completely ironic because it was the school board that made the books available to the children to read in their entirety in the first place. Both books apparently contain pedophilia and extremely graphic sexual depictions, something I believe the Fairfax County School Board should have known before this week. What a complete and utter failure to the kids and parents of that school system. Well, if you remember, we told you last week about the ACLU catching a little flack over a quote that they edited of Ruth Bader Ginsburg's. Now, they're walking it back. They're apologizing over the edits they made, calling it a mistake by their digital team. And look, I don't know who did it. I don't really care who did it. I just find it rather funny that one of the largest leaders in this country of the cancel culture, the ACLU, they're desperately now attempting not to be canceled themselves. If you missed the original story last week, on the one-year anniversary of Ginsburg's passing, the ACLU shared a quote of hers on Twitter that supported abortion, but they edited it out and replaced the words woman, her, and she with people, them, and they, basically indicating that they believe people other than women can actually get pregnant, and Ginsburg's quote needed to be more inclusive, so that's what they did, was made it more inclusive. But it was a horrible quote altogether, and they should have been sorry for sharing it in the first place, not editing it. Well, here's a staggering statistic that I fear may be even higher within the church proper. 44% of PCUSA pastors admit that they are not adequately trained or prepared to deal with mental health issues in their church. But I fear that number is even higher across all denominations. Of course, this article goes on to advocate for psychology training or specific mental health training, but I would rather direct you to ACBC, the Association of Biblical Counselors. But the article is correct when it points out that the number is way too high and that this is obviously an issue, but biblical counseling is the answer, not psychology. So consider starting a biblical counseling ministry in your local church, and you can get all the details by visiting biblicalcounseling.com. Well, in case you missed it last night, we say kudos to the president of Poland, who was a guest last night on the Tucker Carlson show, and he shared his efforts to protect human life and the family. President Andrzej Duda said the family is the foundation of every nation, amen, and that Poland has taken steps to alleviate low birth rates in the country. He also stated the country's constitution states that marriage is between one man and one woman, and that's something that won't be changing under his administration. We say good for you, President Duda. Just wish our American president had the same convictions. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Titles of Christ.
In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teaches us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the true vine. The Old Testament describes Israel as a vine planted in the desert. Jesus is the true vine, and those who trust in him are grafted in to receive life and nourishment from Christ.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The thrill of victory and the agony of defeat.
Spanning the globe. Well, actually, just sitting at my desk, looking at news stories, the stuff you send to idea@wretched.org, printing up a bunch of stuff, bringing it home, reading it before I fall asleep. But I don't know what pile to put it into, so we've concocted this junk drawer known as Wide World of Christian Stories. This is Wretched Radio. That was honest. Well, that's what we've got. It's a bit of a cacophony of stories, but they are of all of them are of interest to the Christian, I hope. And I was going to share some stories that were, well, let's just put it this way. Spock would raise both eyebrows. But Jimmy, you just informed me of a story that I had not seen yet. The House in Washington. Very, very busy representing the will of the people.
Yeah.
Supposedly.
So they passed what's being called the most extreme pro-abortion bill ever, the Women's Health Protection Act, on Saturday, 218 to 211, essentially legalizing abortion up to birth.
Oh.
Yep.
Oh.
Here's Nancy Pelosi's quote. I'm Catholic. I come from a pro-life family.
I'm not going to impose it on anybody.
Yep. I come from a pro-life family. It's my right to choose. Yeah. I had 5 children in 6 years.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Okay. And?
Yeah.
Well, I just honestly, all of the arguments are so dismantleable. It's ridiculous. And yet, what are we seeing in our country? Darkness. I'm telling you, that is about as dark as it gets. It's funny because the other day I was noodling afresh the question, do we live in a great nation? And the answer to that question depends on how you define greatness. If you want to talk about inventions, if you want to talk about prospering for people, if you want to talk about profits, the ability to at least be middle class for the most part, the good things that we potentially do around the globe, yep, that's great. Great. On the other hand, you have our leaders, 218 of them, voting to legalize abortion up to birth, and if they had their way, probably even outside of the womb. That is darkness. Combine that with the other legislation, marriage issues. Is this a great nation? In many regards, it most certainly is. But in these regards, when it comes to morality, when you have the overwhelming majority of men in this country, no less, in my opinion, than 90%, regularly viewing pornography, the divorce rate, the fatherless rate, the horrible behavior that we see going on now all over the place. Got to tell you, there ain't a political fix for this. It has got to be something way more supernatural. That bad boy going to the Senate now, Jimmy?
Yes, I believe so.
And?
Hopefully it gets shot down.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Hopefully it does. But you've got, of course it'll be shot down. You've got Raphael Warnock there.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And he's a Christian.
Yeah, he certainly is.
He pastors a church.
Yeah, just listen to some of his sermons.
Yeah, I can imagine. You did?
No.
This is a fellow who claims to be a Christian, Georgia senator, who's pro-life, like Nancy Pelosi. Well, my personal opinion and Joe Biden's personal opinion. But they are willing to promote it and vote in favor of it. Even if somehow in your brain you are able to justify the intentional taking of an innocent human life because you're not trying to impose your religious beliefs on anybody, even if somehow you could get there, doesn't mean you have to vote for it. You don't want to impose your values? All right, then don't. Because when you vote, you are. Ugh. And speaking, as long as, have we gone anywhere around the globe? Yeah, to Washington. As long as we brought up the subject of the life issue, Scott Klusendorf, a pro-life training institute, he's the fellow that we have in Life is Best, which I still believe is the single best resource for equipping Christians to defend life, writing a rather lengthy article because these days there seems to be an increasing divide between abolitionists and incrementalists. The people who say, no, I'm going to set this up as a trick question. Who says abortion should be abolished? The abolitionists or the incrementalists? Trick question. They both do. Everybody wants that. The question is, how do we get there? And Scott Klusendorf, very, very helpful, writing a lengthy article. I'll just focus on a couple of his points. Pro-life advocates are not consenting to the killing of unborn humans left unprotected by incremental legislation. So some folks would say that if you're an incrementalist, then you are not consenting to the killing of unborn human beings left unprotected by increment, or that you are rather consenting to the killing of unborn humans left by unprotected by incremental legislation. In other words, if you are an incrementalist, then you are telling the world it's okay. This is what Scott Klusendorf wrote. Suppose I'm a prisoner of war captured by a ruthless enemy. My captors take me and hundreds of my men on an 86-mile death march where those falling behind are promptly shot. As the ranking officer, I secure a concession from my captors that allows exhausted soldiers a 20-minute reprieve to recover and get moving before they are shot. My fellow officers join me running up and down the line, saving as many men as we can. As a result, 400 men who fell behind resumed the march and after the war returned home to their families. Tragically, 500 others could not resume the march and were shot. In other words, it was an incremental approach that this fellow took. Klusendorf. By saving some, did I consent to the killing of those left behind? Of course not. Nor was I consenting to the legitimacy of the death march. When I secured the concession from my captors, I did not say, give me 20 minutes, then you can kill the wounded soldier. I gave no such consent. Rather, given the wicked hand I was dealt, I limited the evil done as far as possible, given the realities confronting me. That is a great response. Sometimes people will say, well, if you're an incrementalist, then you're not saving everyone. Well, until that day comes, isn't it better to save someone? And if I use the excuse, well, this piece of legislation, not everybody's going to escape abortion. Not everybody's going to live. Does that mean I shouldn't make an effort to try to save those that might? For instance, maybe not the greatest illustration, but I'll go for it. I'm going to go witnessing to a university campus. Wait a second. I just realized. Not only am I not going to be able to talk to every student, I'm not going to be able to save every student. So I guess I'm not going to the university. You'd say, well, go save the ones that you can. Go help the people that you're able to. Ditto. With incrementalism. His other point, some folks who want abortion abolished, and we all do, wrongly assume that pro-life advocates have the power to stop abortion, but won't. Is that the case? The federal courts have declared that no unborn humans have a right to life. Given that reality, pro-lifers can't wave a magic wand and make it go away. Abolitionists reply that laws permitting abortion are null and void and that pro-lifers who work to limit their evil impact wrongly cede to Caesar the ultimate authority to dictate from on high who lives and who dies. Steve Hayes points out, the objection confuses moral authority with legal authority. Biblically understood, God is indeed the ultimate moral authority who will judge all humans. We recognize that and acknowledge that, but to abolish abortion in a constitutional republic like ours, pro-lifers need legal authority, which they do not have in sufficient measure to protect all children. 218 to 211. In short, declaring that abortion permitting laws are null and void does not make them null and void. Given pro-lifers lack legal authority to save all kids, it's not evil for them to protect as many as they can. He concludes his presentation by saying, in a sense, we're all incrementalists because there is not going to be one fell swoop that abolishes everything. And so we are left with a decision. Do we work to save those that we possibly can, or just work toward the goal that we all share, having human abortion abolished? Huh. That wasn't much of a...
The thrill of victory.
Trip around the globe. We will continue spanning the globe to bring you... Frankly, I have no idea what's next on Wretched Radio. If you like to support ministries that focus on sharing the gospel, you will love Tomorrow Clubs in Eastern Europe. Weekly kids meeting clubs where the kids get loved on and they hear the gospel, like Armic from the Republic of Georgia.
2 years ago, I was invited to a camp organized by the Tomorrow Clubs. Tomorrow Clubs helped me see Jesus was my God and Savior. If it hadn't been for the Tomorrow Clubs, I would never have learned about Jesus.
$30 per month will be sufficient for a Tomorrow Club to operate, gather the kids, and preach the gospel to them in places like Georgia and Ukraine and Romania and Russia. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Club? $30 a month, 30 disciples. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
Do you want to hear a staggering statistic? As recent as this year, only 6% of Americans have a biblical worldview. That number should not only astound you, it should cause you to examine your own personal worldview. Do you see the world and the issues of the world through the lens of Scripture, or are your beliefs built on man-made philosophies? Most Christians have a dualistic worldview, meaning they separate spiritual things from, quote, real world things without understanding that everything for the Christian should be filtered through Scripture. In our resource, Wretched Worldview, with Dr. Owen Strand and Todd Frill, seeks to help, not by telling you what to think, but by teaching you how to formulate a distinctly Christian worldview on 22 contemporary issues. Get all of the details and order your copy of Wretched Worldview, which comes with its very own handy study guide, now at the Wretched store by visiting wretched.org/worldview. That's wretched.org/worldview.
If and you don't mind me saying so, I resonate with this sentiment from Dan Steiner of Preborn Ministries.
To be able to look across America and see this holocaust of abortion and know that people like you are doing something about it. It's one thing to say that we're against abortion, but it's really another to take action.
Do you resonate with that sentiment? Then please consider supporting Preborn Ministries. Ultrasounds save lives. For $28, you will be providing an ultrasound that 80% of the time causes the mother to choose life. That's really doing something. May I ask, how many babies' lives could you save for $28 each? Preborn Ministries also preaches the gospel to the mommies and the daddies, and you can learn more at preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
Lexicon. There are many words to help us understand the nature of the Bible. Words like sensus literalis. The Bible is to be read in the literal sense, the way the author and original audience would have understood it. There is no code, no secret meaning to be uncovered. The Bible is plainly written so that all people can know God through its pages.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Not that this is a game of poker or something. This is Wretched Radio, was trying to span the globe.
The thrill of victory.
To bring you the constant variety of miscellaneous stories that I can't fit anyplace else. When Jimmy informs me that our House of Representatives in Washington, D.C. voted 218 to 211 to legalize abortion, period. Hands down, the end. No more debate. It's settled, because now it's not just a legal ruling, it's legislation. I can't come up with another story that equals how atrocious that is. And I have got some atrocious stories sitting here. Think about where we are as a culture. It should motivate us to get off of the evangelism dime and start sharing our faith. I'd point you to Solving the God Puzzle. We're giving away free copies, up to a million of them, if you will give them away. Can we know with certainty God exists? Go to a university campus, you'll pass them out lickety-split. The kids will take them, and they will read them. And you might even engage in some conversations. We are living in a country that, wow. Okay, for instance, let's see. How's about, okay, here you go. Now, some people will go, well, that's progress. I don't think so. The Defense Authorization Act requires women to register for the draft. Hey, cool. A House panel voted 35 to 24 to approve an amendment introduced by a Democrat from Pennsylvania that would effectively require 18 to 25-year-old women to register for the Selective Service System. The Senate Armed Services Committee made a similar vote in July to expand any potential draft to women. Hey, guess who's supporting it? The House Republican Conference expressed support for the Defense Authorization Act, which contains an amendment that requires women to register for the draft. We have a country where we're going to put women on the front lines. That is so far away from the reality of the universe. Really? We can't figure this out? That a particular gender is built for that role? Not to mention commanded to play that role? Oof-da. According to the text, it's about the modernization of the Selective Service System and amends the draft-related portions of the U.S. Code by striking out masculine pronouns and words such as male citizen and male person, being replaced simply with citizen and person. That's right. Oh, there's a difference between boys and the girls. No, there's not. Just person. They're just humans. How dark is that? It's still, sorry, it's not as wicked as what Jimmy is reporting. Jimmy, what is the impact going to be on the state level if this legislation makes it through the Senate?
Well, if it makes it through, it's going to eliminate all state and federal parental consent laws in relation to abortion.
Cool.
All state informed consent laws, including those that allow women to view ultrasounds prior to an abortion, which that saved tons of lives. Prevent states from passing laws to protect babies at 20 weeks, like the recent Texas law.
Which, by the way, hold on. I got a headline right here.
Okay.
Biden administration takes new steps to combat Texas abortion law, telling abortionists we have your back. Well, how nice of you.
Yeah.
But if this legislation passes, no problem. Texas gets overridden because it's federal law.
Yeah, and we'll be no better than North Korea, China, Vietnam when it comes to the matter.
That's so judgmental.
Yeah.
Are you saying that we're better than them?
Well,
as a nation... When your legislation especially supposedly reflects the will of the people, that's our system. That ain't true in China. They're just wicked people over there. North Korea, ditto that. But we're supposed to be a representative republic. We're not a democracy. We're a representative republic. They're supposed to represent us, and that means sometimes they're going to make decisions different than the one that I would prefer. I think I was just listening to Vody talk about representative republic versus democracy. Jimmy, am I thinking right? Was that Vody who did that?
I think so.
I think so, too. Regardless, we'll give him credit because Not enough people are giving credit to sources these days, so we'll overcompensate. I think it was Modi who was saying, you don't want a democracy, because that means the will of the people rules. That means if you've got 51% of folks saying, let's kill the Christians, they have to vote that way. That is not a rule of law that you would like. Instead, a representative republic, we're supposed to have representatives that know stuff and make decisions typically in alignment with the voice of the people who elected them, but being able to say, no, not good. Can't do that. We're not living in that world anymore. 218 to 200. Is that representing the will of the people? Ay, ay, ay. Okay, I was going to try this story. Speaking of parental consent, this is in the UK. Fair enough. Kids younger than 16 will be allowed to take puberty blockers without parents' consent. Okay, that's tragic. That's terrible. Nothing compared. Jimmy, you are the hands-down winner today.
I don't feel like one.
Overturning a high court ruling, this is in the UK, the British Court of Appeal ruled just last week that doctors can prescribe experimental drugs without parental consent. What do parents have to do with raising their children? We're the government. We've got this. Overturning a high court ruling which had concluded last year that it was highly unlikely that a child aged 13 or younger would be able to consent to taking puberty blockers. The court said Friday that doctors, not the courts, will decide whether their patients can properly consent to taking such treatment. Well, isn't that a convenient ruse? The court was not in a position to generalize about the capability of persons of different ages to understand what is necessary for them to be competent to consent to the administration of puberty blockers. How's about I'm an adult? I'm now qualified. I'm not going to give an Uzi to an 8-year-old. I'm not going to let kids have the car keys. I am not going to send them to war. We don't even let them vote. But they can decide they want puberty blockers. But the courts can't. The children can, but the courts can't. They were never children themselves. This is so head in the sand, removed from reality. It's not as bad as Jimmy's story. Congratulations. Here's another one from the UK. The percentage of UK adults that say porn is acceptable as a part of a modern society. Well, aren't we on the right side of history? It was funny. I was watching a Bill Maher video. Fascinating to watch him. Man, he's like Elvis, man. He's caught in a trap. He's a classic liberal, which means he sees what's going on in so many ways and he thinks it's bonkers. And yet he can't quite seem to come to the light of conservatism. But wow, is he talking that way? He was talking about meritocracy the other day and why that's the better system and railing against everybody gets a ribbon and everybody makes the same amount. Everybody should be a star. No, meritocracy. That's Bill Maher. Zoinks, Scoob. And even he was lamenting that the decisions that we're making as a culture these days are so detached from what is right. I don't know why he's feeling this way. I'm just waiting, by the way, for Bill to say, you know, now that I think about it, for years I've been listening to conservatives who come onto this program. I think they were mostly right about stuff, because here we are in a kettle of rotten fish. And when Bill Maher gets it, porn is an acceptable part of modern society. So Bill Maher said to people who are going after him that are liberals, hey, why are you talking the way that you're talking and saying that some conservative things are smart? How dare you doing that? And he said, this was another way of saying, I'm not on the wrong side of history. He said, I'm not the one not in step with the times. Y'all are. And he was talking in that context specifically, by the way, of segregation. He said, we used to be segregated. Remember, we got away from that. I'm not out of step with history. You are. Need to remember that, by the way, especially regarding sexual issues. We're on the right side of history. because we're letting love be love. No, we used to do that. We decided as a globe, let's get that cleaned up. And it was Christianity, specifically the laws of Moses, that began to change that. We're not progressing, we're regressing. Nearly one in five adults say they wouldn't mind pursuing a career in the porn industry if they were paid a good salary and the working environment was safe. Of course they have to say that because most of them are watching. And yet, that story don't win. Jimmy, your story wins. If you've never prayed for your leaders and rulers, this might be one of those times. Legalized abortion? Until tomorrow, go serve your king.